Hey, dear colleagues, when Lithuania declared the re-establishment of its independence in 1990, it was seen by many as a continuation of the First National Republic, whose existence was discontinued by the occupation of Lithuania by the Soviet Union in 1940. In recent years, however, the political scientists tend to see the restoration of republic as an establishment of a quite new kind of state based on the principles of democracy rather than on the authoritarian regime led by the president as in the years of the pre-war republic. As we look into the development, as we look into the development of national opera in Lithuania, taking the premiere of the first national opera Birutė Baimikas Petrauskas in 1996 as a starting point, we can also see obvious changes taking place after the year 1990, especially during the later decade. As soon as we stepped over into the new millennium, a composing boom gained momentum in the field of opera. 43 new operas were premiered during the period from 1990 to 2011. Such explosion of creativity compares to no other period in the development of Lithuanian opera, yet it reminds of the hectic 20s in the Western music history, when the operas of the most unexpected forms and genres had emerged. Therefore, would it be appropriate to speak about the phenomenon of so-called delayed culture in the history of national opera in Lithuania? How should we evaluate Lithuanian operas of the Soviet period? Should we consider the latest period of Lithuanian opera as a consequent outcome of previous development of the genre, or rather as a quite a new phenomenon in the national history of the genre? Now I suggest to listen to watch one fragment, one excerpt from a dance opera Noidi, produced in 2010 by composer Rita Mačiliūnaitė. He was born in 1985. So it is contemporary opera, chamber opera. Lithuanian culture, and not of the history of opera in Lithuania, because since first works of the genre were produced and we are probably being written during the first half of the 17th century. While the declaration of the First Lithuanian Republic signified the birth to a modern state, the same can be said for countries such as Latvia, Estonia, or Poland. Supported by its ethnic background, during the Middle Ages, Lithuania was a mighty Christian land that made its way rather far to the east. And at the same time successfully fighting the Crusaders and finally becoming a part of the Lithuanian-Polish Commonwealth until the end of 18th century. While the same effect was reached by a modest opera, Birutė, based on Lithuanian libretto and presented in 96 in the context of contemporary Lithuanian historiography of music, it is seen as a start of national opera, but of course the life of opera was not launched by the work. And now let us listen to the excerpt to the Birutė aria from this first Lithuanian national opera. Four national operas were born. The first one was Jurgis Karnavičius Gražina, written in 1933 after a poem by Adam Mickiewicz. All of these works, based on historical and mythical plot lines, are rather traditionalistic, quite conventional in musical, musically quite conventional. It is worth to mention that in 1929, Vytautas Bacevičius, one of the first Lithuanian avant-garde composer, wrote opera Priestess and offered it for staging at the State Theatre. During the audition, the patriarch of Lithuanian School of Composing, Juozas Gruodis, who was also the conductor of the theatre, evaluated the opera as being too unusual, and this work was never staged. During the years of the Second World War, was staged one comic opera of Stasys Šimkus, based on everyday realities, Village by the Manor. And the second Soviet occupation took up the longest period of time and was not homogeneous, as was already said mentioned today. The period produced 39 operas and staged was 35. Firstly, I would like to mention Vytautas Klovas opera Defenders of the Castle, which was produced in 1956 and remains to this day as the most popular heroic Lithuanian opera. Interestingly, the first Lithuanian Soviet opera Marytė, written by Antanas Račiūnas, was realized 3 years earlier in 1953. The year 1953 was, of course, still the time of Stalin, the year 1956 already the more liberal times of Khrushchev. While Marita was born as tribute to the regime, defenders of the castle was met by the audiences as an expression of the undying national self-awareness and the indestructible spirit of national unity. However, from the point of view of musical style, which leans towards academic national romanticism and dramatic construction based on the heroic grand opera pattern, it is not that much different from Marita. Let us listen now to Udry's aria from opera Defenders of the Castle, and you will see a revival of opera production from 80s in the summer opera festival. Of Lithuania's past, often expressing it through the prism of Marxistic battles of the classes. However, in the 70s, in the end of 60s, there were also appearances of different operatic styles. The creation included six purely Soviet works based on propaganda, three historical operas with hints on the battles of social classes, five based on historical plot lines and tales and folk tales, perceived first and foremost as ambassadors for the Lithuanian spirit, three operas that were ideologically correct but still managed to convey the psychological dramas of their characters. Two of them, produced in 1967, could be treated as the first steps towards expressionism in musical theater. Finally, there were four operas showcasing plot lines that could be viewed as neutral and not connected to any ideology. In the 1980s, operas were also created by the leaders of the new contemporary Lithuanian music who didn't surrender to any official doctrines of art, Bronius Kutavičius and Feliksas Bajoras. Musical theatres refused to accept their works, thus the operas were presented at the drama theatres with singing parts performed by actors, although they were originally meant for opera soloists. By the way, in 1968, Julius Juzeliūnas, who at the time was already the leading composer of this generation, approached the opera and ballet theatre with his modern chamber opera, The Game. The work was rejected by the theatre and received its first semi-stage performance only in 2007 as an independent production. And now one small extract from this opera. System of cultural life after 1990. Around the year 2000, the project financing system proved to be effective. The Culture Support Foundation, established under the Ministry of Culture in 1998, has been announcing competitions for project applications each year. This gave rise to a variety of festivals whose primary aim was to initiate new projects, not excluding the stage productions. The premiere of opera The Bėk by Bronius Kutavičius, which came about as a commission of the Vilnius Festival and was produced at the National Opera and Ballet Theatre in 2000, may be taken as a symbolical borderline. It appeared to be a somewhat psychologically charged mystical thriller about the blood wedding in the savage country, in rural Samogitia, one of the Lithuania's distinct ethnographic regions. The main character is Count Šemiot, a Lithuanian version of Count Dracula, we could say, very simplified. And two fragments from this opera.
Thank you.
Most chamber operas were initiated by festivals of contemporary music theater. First presented in 1990, it is, there are operas of Gita. And the later years also marked the appearance of the youth festival of contemporary opera, New Opera Action, that has been going since 2008. So, and so this brings us to a question, or maybe the main question would be, how would one present this variety of operas and styles starting from 96 as a coherent story that preserves its concept of continuity? According to Leo Treitler, in our days there is a growing doubt surrounding the possibility of the general idea of gradual transformation born during the times of Enlightenment. And the idea of history as a sort of gradual improvement is simply not believed, but the concept in narrative has survived the loss of faith in gradual transformation. There is a satisfaction in narrative, a sheer narrative pleasure. However, the possibility of writing narrative history depends on the positing of an ideal object whose continuity is followed in the narrative. Treitler claims that in political history such ideal object was the idea of national spirit. In music history that role was taken up by the aesthetic concept of the autonomy of art. The correlate is a history of compositional technique or of musical logic. That meant music history as a narrative of change with the emphasis of on novelty. Consequently, we would present the history of Lithuanian opera as a history of opera modernization, starting with the modest Birutė in 96 and concluding with the representative contemporary Gabija Vaikutavičius or chamber operas of our day. Of course, the pathway of this modernization is uneven and displays tendency to linger upon one or the other stage of development. Thus, when one wishes to trace and express the narrative of modernization, one would have to reduce works to illustrations of ideas and techniques as it was formulated by Karl Dallhaus and quoted by Treitler. Moreover, in such a narrative, there is an inescapable accent being part of the outcome as a goal or norm inherent in the process of change. The one encounters a dangerous tendency to refer to a horse as a wheelless automobile, as it was once put by Walter Ong. What is the solution? Having studied Karl Dallhaus' Grundlagengeschichte, Musikgeschichte, Treitler claimed that music history is possible only insofar as the historian is able to show the place of individual works in history. So after the analysis of the works, it is possible to rephrase Treitler and support by this analysis the historical narrative of the dynamics between the stereotyping of aesthetic perception or between something that is considered a norm during the given period of time and the generation of new stylistic and generic norms with the aesthetic attrition of older ones. Consequently, such narrative allows us to associate patriotic but still conventional defenders of the caste, for example, with contemporary chamber opera that are treating the conventions of the genre quite freely and don't have much to do with the idea of national spirit. If we would treat the later works as the outcome of the opera evolution, defenders of the caste would have to take up the position of the wheelless automobile and vice versa. According to Slovenian philosopher and musicologist Mladen Dolar, opera is the privileged place for enacting the fantasy of a mythical community which is able to offer the grain of fantasy needed to constitute the real community as its mover. In opera, we have to deal with the logic of a fantasy. Quite obviously, the essential mythical community in operas created before 1990 was associated with the old history of a mythical state of Lithuania, existing in the operas as a foundation for a desired future project. As this project became reality in 1990, this kind of grain of fantasy seems to have lost its relevance. Dollar's idea of the logical fantasy that needs to be revealed works in harmony together with Preitler's invitation to explore the history contained within the works themselves, that is to read the historical nature of works from their internal constitution. In that case, if we were to write a hypothetical history of Lithuanian opera, of national Lithuanian opera, we could save it from danger of becoming an oversimplified continuous evolution or of uncomfortable fragmentation, for example, of pastiche. After all, a narrative must produce sheer pleasure, according to Leo Preitler. So, thank you very much for attention.
Thank you very much for your paper. Are there any questions or remarks?
Thank you very much. I just have a little bit of difficulty understanding endless change in terms of narrative. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to me that narrative also requires plot, mm-hmm. or plot archetype, or in other words, it needs to be founded in a principle of repetition as well as a principle of innovation. So I found, particularly with the post-1990 story, I found it very hard to think of this in terms of what you're calling narrative. Mm.
You find it very difficult to...
Yes. I mean, you're using... Uh-huh. You had at one point an overhead which was saying a narrative of change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I
don't quite see that can be a narrative. I can see that narratives involve change, mm-hmm. but I don't quite see that you could have a narrative of change, mm-hmm. because narrative also requires repetition.
Yes.
It requires a plot. Mm-hmm.
What way?
Let's see.
It was your commentary, or it was your question?
Well, I would have been interested in your response, but it's not obligatory.
No, I
mean, partly there's a larger issue, which is that, you know, in a lot of musicology has mm-hmm. drawn on the metaphor of narrative,
yes.
narrativity and so on, and I just think that it needs to be looked at
Maybe my idea was so to say, in conventional sense, we see, we think that history must be something from point A to A to point B, and something, yes, narrative of changes, yes, or something.
Well, that becomes a sequence of events.
Yes,
and
yes.
Before the sequence of events can become a narrative, there has to be a plot thread that links them. This is the sort of question, really. But I don't want to labor it.
I was interested in this one of the sudden prompting of chamber opera.
Mm-hmm.
Has it something to be do with the economic resources and the rise of the new genre that suddenly composers had the possibility to call works operas that they earlier would have called, or would have called them some stage work got smaller? Because that's a very similar thing here with mm-hmm. the project financing and then independent groups taking chamber operas.
Yes, it is connected with with financial some possibilities, and from financial and maybe from ideological, because in Soviet times the main mecenate, so to say, was the state. And now we have state, but we have this financial system, new financial system, and maybe a new. And in Soviet time, many operas were produced on the stage of opera and ballet theater, and we have. No other scenes. So in Vilnius, in opera in national, in the opera and ballet theater, and in musical theater. So now there are possibilities to use some another scenes for the stages, and so it depends also from the ideology. I think that. Because in Soviet time operas were staged in this main scene, and they have some representative function of representing the state. Yes, and now in our times, if we have some new operas on theater, in many cases. There are dedicated to some or state anniversaries or something, something like this, and chamber operas are produced on another scene. They have not this representing, no function of representing something.
But you are yourself working at the Lithuanian National Opera.
Yes.
Is National Opera as an institution involved in this movement? Or maybe that is just the counteraction of composers against the institution of national opera.
No, now we have such situation that about composers mostly cares composers, Lithuanian composers, yes, theater. I don't know exactly, but new pieces for composers. Composers, new commissions, they received from Ministry of the Culture, not from the theater. And theater is only the scene when they can realize their works. Or produced the operas, but theater, I think, gave not money for the composing of the work.
But does opera give the stage or smaller stages or support to an institution?
No, opera, no. Our opera have our big stage, and opera house have not chamber scene, not chamber scene, and no opera, our opera theater don't participate in this.
Sorry, it's a different kind of question this time. I was just thinking when you were talking, I wonder if Lithuanian musicologists are interested in trying the sort of thing that Estonians are doing in writing a history of Lithuanian music. And if so, I then started wondering how would they want to deal with 19th century Vilnius, for example, where I guess opera, but not exactly Lithuanian opera, was quite prominent. I seem to remember the first production of Halka, for example, took place in Vilnius. It's this kind of thing.
So we have now published two tomes of Lithuanian music history. It is national Lithuanian music history. So the first tome is from end of 19th century. to the 1918, and second tome is for the first for the time for First Republic, the music of time for First Republic. And no, our maybe look or is maybe more more conservative to the history as of Estonians, for example, because Ulve Lipus have said yesterday that that you want to write history from very earliest time. So, but now in Lithuania we have many many books recently published about this period from this period. Books, I mean monographs from this period. I would say pre-national period. So 19th century and so on and so on. Now it is very.
I'd like just to add, actually, in addition to your question. When they're dealing with the 19th century, they're dealing with the music in.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Because, for instance, the same Vida Bakutita, who published last year a book about the opera in Vilnius, beginning from 1785 to 1915, she's namely talking about opera in Vilnius as such, and neither dealing with Lithuanian national opera, because it's not possible at that time, because national movement as such. Developed only in the second half of the 19th century. So in that period, now it's about to say in the historical thinking, throughout thinking, it's more and more becoming ours, that is Lithuanian cultural heritage, which is not necessarily Lithuanian national cultural heritage, but it's Lithuanian.
Yes.
So in this case, even the same Halka is within context of culture inside Lithuanian musical culture, is beginning to understand. Be understood in this case.
Okay. How many times are these new operas performed, and is there a response from the side of the audience?
In many cases, only one time in this. Yes. And when opera is produced in theater. Then is many chances that it would part of the repertoire. Yes, but on the scenes of festivals, it is yes. There are some operas from this that are performed several times, but.
Maybe the last question. No?
Yes, I was also thinking in terms of reception in some way. And when you go back to 1906 and onwards, I suppose these Lithuanian operas are put into a stream of international operas. And how has the reception been? Have all attempts to make a national opera been taken with a good response? At least in Sweden we have from time to time. That many attempts to write the Swedish National Opera, and some of them have been quite embarrassing to the audience for the first time.
Yes, during the interval period, it was very strong wish, and very strong wish from state and from theater to have own Lithuanian opera. And it was not enough this Birutė from 96, because it was more like for amateurs theater, and it was a wish to have a professional opera. And first opera produced in 1933, Gražina, it was so perceived, it was like a good opera, but critics said or wrote that it is not true Lithuanian opera, because composer Jurgis Karnavičius before the revolution he lived 55 years in St. Petersburg, and he didn't speak Lithuanian until some years. So, and he was not true Lithuanian, so to say, maybe, and his opera also was received as not true Lithuanian, because critics had in this music something like in operas by Rimsky-Korsakov or something like that. And but in general, operas was perceived very good in the pre-war period, and in the Soviet period it was very, very different, because some operas was propagandists and not interesting at all, not for composers maybe, not for public. And so we lived in the system of plans, planning system. You know what it is, yes? And Lithuanian composers also had to produce, to compose some numbers of operas, and theater have obligation to produce these operas, and not all operas was very good in artistic like artists work, artistic work. And but some operas, yes, were good. But yes, in general, opera is, I think, and opera goers are conservative, more conservative, and they enjoy more operas of Puccini, Verdi, and so on. And maybe national operas are not so interesting to many, to general public.